Doing business with the federal government can be lucrative, interesting, and fulfilling. It can also be the biggest hassle known to mankind. A few recent developments may put it somewhat in that latter category. We go over some of them with Larry Allen of Allen Federal Business Partners. Larry, it's always good to have you back.
Tom, great to be here.
Let's talk about something you've written about on the blog, about checking your advantage listing. Apparently, what the government may have about you as a contractor is not what you think about yourself as a contractor.
Well, that's exactly right, Tom. GSA Advantage is GSA's long-established online catalog and ordering system. And recently, the agency has been making a big push to have contractors update their information. The problem is that GSA's new software for GSA Advantage can sometimes take a contractor's information and change it. So I'm recommending that all contractors take a look at their GSA Advantage information, even if they've just uploaded it or if it's been a while since they've uploaded that information. What I've been hearing, Tom, is that companies who upload a description of, let's say, a chair may find out that it's the same part number as somebody else's tire. And when the customer clicks trying to find a chair, they're going to find a tire.
Yeah, I've had tires and chairs like that. And so is there any way of knowing if the government has done that except going in bit by bit and looking through every field in your entry?
Well, there really isn't any way of knowing. The biggest thing that I can tell contractors is, look, GSA wants you to use a universal product code, a UPC. So if you have identified all of your products with UPCs, you're probably okay. On the other hand, not every product on Advantage comes with a UPC, Tom. So if you're a company that has uploaded items to Advantage without a proper UPC code, you've probably got a problem and you need to go in and look.
And that's not to be distinguished from a barcode. That's something else entirely, right?
Something else entirely. And the real issue is that GSA holds contractors accountable if their contract listings are improper. Well, contractors ought to hold GSA accountable if their software takes contractor proprietary information and then changes it to meet GSA's silo of the way they would like the information on GSA Advantage to appear. So GSA is aware of this problem, Tom, but short of a strategic level fix, it's still going to have to be a contractor by contractor process.
All right, so who should you assign to do that? Is this something that someone high level in the company needs to do, or can maybe the summer intern that's about to arrive take a look through all the listings?
Well, I think that the entry level work can probably be done by a summer level intern, somebody who can certainly tell a tire from a chair, for example. But when all of these problems are flagged, it becomes an issue for your company's contract negotiator and your company's contracting officer at GSA to make the fix. And the fix has to be made. And ironically, this is a fix that I think GSA is going to have to make. Either that, or a company is going to have to take all of its Advantage information down and then reload it again. And that takes time and it costs a lot of money. And there really should be some realization on GSA's part that this was money and time incurred because their software didn't get it right. And contractors ought not to be penalized for it.
Because distributors, which may have thousands and thousands of products on a scheduled contract, they would have a big challenge ahead of them.
Well, that's true, but only really to the extent that those products aren't tagged with a universal product code. Again, most of the problems are with items that don't have a universal product code. But if you're one of those contractors that doesn't have universal product codes for its items and you are doing business with GSA through the schedules program, I think you ought to think twice right now about uploading any information to GSA Advantage because the chances of you having to do it again are pretty good.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and the next topic I wanted to go over with you is something else you've written about, and I've seen a lot of news about this. Organizational conflicts of interest, OCI, has become something of a thing lately, with contractors finding it in other contractors, even if the government is not aware of it, or even if the government has written what it thinks are requirements in such a way that avoid that issue of OCI, it keeps popping up.
Organizational conflicts of interest, Tom, are something that really first came on the contracting scene in a big way about 5 or 6 years ago. And this is one of the outcomes of having contractors do so much work on behalf of a federal government agency. Most recently, there have been a couple of GAO protests surrounding organizational conflicts of interest. And that's what I was trying to get across in my blog posting. Look, you have to take organizational conflict of interest issues seriously. And it's not always, it may not even be usually the case that the government flags an OCI issue. It may be a competitor.
This is, yes, because so many people are getting into the consulting business, the services business, where they might have had something to say about what a requirement is, and then they're not supposed to bid on that requirement if they help develop it. But that's a big gray area.
Well, that's a classic case of an OCI, Tom. If you help out too much as a contractor setting up the parameters for an acquisition, you can't then bid on that acquisition. And more than one contractor has found themselves in trouble for that. And while they got paid a little bit for helping with the formation of the acquisition, they potentially would have gotten a lot more if they'd actually won the bid. More recently, we've gotten into a case where a contractor is performing a function for a government agency, and then the agency wants to hire somebody to evaluate that contractor's performance. And oftentimes they will turn to another contractor for that. What we found in some of the OCI incidents lately is they may hire the same company to evaluate the performance of a different part of that own company. That too is a problem.
All right, so something to watch out for, pay attention to, because again, people are calling out one another on that, and that's causing a spike in protests around that area, correct?
They really are calling each other out on it, and whether it's an OCI issue or a contract compliance issue, Tom, my recommendation to contractors is that you have to know who your competitors are and where they are, because they're a lot of times going to be the ones who contact the government and blow the whistle on you.
All right, and let me ask you, too, about category management, to switch gears here just one more time. There are now 10 officials that have been appointed as category managers, almost a football team. I guess maybe Denise Turner-Roth here is the quarterback. And so what do you think about all of that? What does this mean for contractors as category managements? Well, it's an octopus plus two.
I'm very surprised that here we are in the late stages of an administration and the Office of Management and Budget is working very aggressively on a host of policy issues, and category management, Tom, is just one of them. And it's an acquisition-related issue, and because it's acquisition-related and it has top-level support, it's something that I think contractors have to pay attention to. You mentioned that the Office of Management and Budget recently named 10 category managers, therefore such diverse areas as things like information technology, products, real estate, even travel and transportation and healthcare. So any type of company that's doing business with the government really needs to understand what's going on in category management. In some cases, it may mean that the government's going to recommend a new acquisition approach. In most cases, I think it's going to mean that the government's going to tweak current acquisition approaches and may identify preferred acquisition methods in each specific category with a lead agency. And if you're a contractor that doesn't know what that method is, or you don't have good relationships with that lead agency, you could be behind the eight ball.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, thanks so much for that commentary.
Tom, great to be with you, and I wish your listeners good luck selling.
Read more and share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive, and click share with friends.